Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Sweet, sweet spirit here tonight. We don't want to rush it. Don't want to get ahead of the Spirit of God, but stay right in His flow. Don't want to get behind it either, but want to stay right in His flow. Want to stay with the Spirit of God. Spirit of a man who sustains his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Sometimes in our Christian life, our Christian walk, our spirits get wounded for whatever reason. They get wounded, and sometimes our faith gets dampened, and sometimes we can't use our faith because our spirits have been wounded, and we don't realize they're wounded, but they're wounded. Tonight, if the Spirit of God lets me, I want to talk about now faith is because trust is. The reason I titled it that way, because you cannot have faith in God if you don't trust God. They go hand in hand. They go together. It's just kind of like Batman and Robin. They go together. Faith and trust. They go together. They've got to go together. Hallelujah. You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. And too many times we walk down this Christian road and we get our little toes dampened or stepped on or whatever the case might be. But God wants us to trust and rely on Him. If our faith isn't working, our truster isn't trusting. Thank you for the amens. But you know, you might come up here for prayer and you might not get healed right away. Because see, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe in miraculous immediate healings. Sometimes God wants to teach you patience, and sometimes God wants to teach you trust. Because see, if we really have the faith of God, the faith of the Son of God, then we won't worry about what the doctor's reports say, because we're trusting and relying on God Almighty. We're trusting and relying that He is a man of His word, He doesn't lie, and we can count on Him to back His word up. How many know that if Sister Ditter had $1 million and she said she was going to write you a check, that she's got a credible enough word that she'd write you that check and that money would be there? That's the same type of trust God is looking for. He gave us His word, He gave us His Son. I don't understand why we wrestle with trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We're living in a day where cataclysmic events are going to get worse and worse and worse. The time has come, the end times are here, and they're going to get darker and they're going to get even deeper darkness. We think it's dark now, it's only going to get deeper. As the times come and the seasons change, darkness is only going to get worse. But in that darkness, we're going to shine as lights. I'm not saying we're not going to go through trouble, we're not going to have persecutions, but we are going to shine as lights. We're going to have to trust that whether one of us, if I, Lewis, lost my job or Heather lost her job, we're going to have to trust that God's going to provide. God wants us to trust Him. If it means paycheck to paycheck, God wants us to trust Him. Because He's our provider. That job that you may be working at is not your source. God is your source. That job your husband is at is not your source. God is your source. He may use the company, but God is your source. Gas prices are going astronomically out of sight, but God is our source. If we have to hook a hose to our car by faith and believe that God will pour out gasoline into our car to get to church, I believe God will do it. Glory be to God. I believe God will do it because I believe He wants us in their house. We may have to get back to the way that they did it in the first church. Go house to house and break bread. The way these gas prices are going together. And we're going to see who really is on the Lord's side. And we're going to see who really has a heart to follow Jesus. Because the building doesn't make me want to serve God. Thank you for the amens. The building it helps us to focus. It helps us to come together and group together. But the building doesn't make me want to serve God. It's the cross that makes me want to serve Jesus. It's the fact that He sent His Son. And because He sent His Son, I can trust that He's a man of His word. Because He's proven Himself time and time again, my brother and sister, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Hallelujah. Trust simply means to put one's confidence in. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that put a confidence in a lot of things. But there's nothing better than putting your confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing better than putting your confidence in Him. Amen. Some of us put our confidence in our husbands and our wives. But ultimately, God wants our confidence in Him. Because it's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's not in any other thing, but it's in Him. It's in Jesus. Now faith is because we're trusting and relying on God. Not because our faith is greater, it's some source. Our faith works because our God works through trust. And we know that it's because He works and lives and moves in our being. It has nothing to do with what we do. Brother Sean, you're getting a little controversial with some messages out there about faith today. Yes, I am. And I told God it doesn't matter to me who this tape goes to or where it goes. I'm going to stand for God's truth and I'm going to stand for His Word. It's His Word. And how dare we try to pervert it or try to change it to fit the media, to fit the times, to fit the day that we live in because we want to have the applause of men more than the applause of God. I'm not looking for your applause. I'm looking for His applause. Trust is to put one's confidence in. We're not to put our, not to be placed in weapons. We don't need to put our trust in weapons. We don't need to put our trust in wealth. We don't need to put our trust in leaders. But the only leaders we should put our trust in is the leaders that the Holy Ghost gives us in the church world today. We don't need to put our trust in men, and I would go as far as to say doctors. We don't need to put our trust in works, and we don't need to put our trust in one's own righteousness. And I can give a biblical account to all those, and you know, I think I will. Psalms 44:6 for weapons, for wealth is Psalms 49:6-7 for leader, Psalms 146:3 for man, Jeremiah 17:5 for works, Jeremiah 48:7 for one's own righteousness, Ezekiel 33:13. We're saved through faith, by grace through faith, my brother and sister, is the only way that we're saved. We're not saved because of works. Thank you for the amen. We're saved by grace through faith is how we're saved. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. I brought my Amplified because there's some things in here that the King James don't bring out. Now, I'm a King James fanatic. I always will be. I'll probably die a King James nut, but that's okay. I believe it's the infallible Word of God. Amen. I don't like some of the newer versions like NIV. I'm just going to go ahead and step on some toes. I don't care. I just don't like the NIV. I was preparing for a sermon and I saw Heather's NIV on the near the fireplace, and I saw her NIV near the fireplace, and I looked something up in Proverbs, and what I was studying on was the blessing of the Lord. And when I come to the scripture, and I was looking up, it said, "One who makes one rich makes one rich." I thought to myself, "How far in heaven have we twisted God's word? Makes one rich. Anybody can take that scripture and say God wants me to be rich." And I just believe that the King James Version is the infallible Word of God, and I'm just going to stand on that because it's the only Bible that in history throughout ages upon ages upon ages where a real manifestation of the Spirit of God is manifested when people preached out of the King James Version. Thank you for the amens. Why don't you do some of your history homework? Hallelujah. Fathers, we come tonight. We want to come and we want to learn from Your Word, Father. Father, help me to delegate and deliberate Your Word, Your truth, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, because this is Your Word, Father God. This is the Word that You gave me for these people, for us, so we can use our faith, Father God. And I pray that it would ignite faith in here. I pray that it would come alive tonight like never before. I pray that those areas that we're weak in believing God for, that we begin to be strong in faith, believing, nothing wavering, nothing doubting You, Father God, that we, Father God, would believe You for the impossible, for the miraculous. Miraculous, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. See, faith is an important factor. And it's talked about, faith is talked about more than Jesus has talked about in the church circuit. In the church world today, faith is talked about more than Jesus. You turn on the Christian television, you'll hear about faith. You'll hear about sow your seed of faith. You won't hear about Jesus. And you know what? Jesus said some interesting things about faith. You know, it's in the book of Mark, we're fixing to go there. And when Jesus saw their faith, I love what the Amplified says about it. We're fixing to go there. Jesus said some things differently than modern men today. And I'm going to stick with Jesus more than I'm going to stick with modern men. That doesn't mean I'm not praying for these men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't mean I hate these men. The only way I'm going to hate these men is if they absolutely, and I won't even hate them. I'll pray that God will save them. I'll pray that God will deliver them. But there is something that we need to do, and that is stand up for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That means we're going to have enemies. Even there's men today that are in pulpits across America, and they're in nice three-piece suits, but if you really look at them, they've got forked tongues and forked horns coming out of their head, and they've got a tail like a devil's. You know, I love the Chick Track Brother Doug, that where the preacher standing behind the pulpit, and he's got a tail like the devil because he's not really a man of God. He's an imposter. He's an opposer. And we have those today. The Bible said we would, but never fear. God is faithful. God has 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. He's got faithful people that want to serve Him in these last days. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22, we see the story of the man. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Let me turn there myself because I'm going to read the whole thing. I wasn't going to, But I think I will. Because see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And maybe our faith needs to be built up. Hallelujah. It's about the fig tree. Hallelujah. And Jesus replied and said to them, have faith in God constantly. See, not sometimes, but constantly. We need to have faith in God constantly. See, that means no matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstance hits you, you need to have faith in God. You need to have faith constantly, continually. Turn with me, please, to Luke. About the blind man, glory be to God. Luke chapter 18. I love what Jesus says in here. Notice I said I love what Jesus says. Not any man, a book, but what Jesus. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith, your trust, and confidence. The spring from your faith in God has healed you. Notice he didn't talk about his faith in his faith, but his faith in where? His faith in his God. His faith in his trust and confidence that spring from your faith in God has healed you. See, it's our faith in God. It's not our faith in a force. It's our faith in a man. It's our faith in a God that loved us enough to send us His Son. It's in a faith, a real faith that knows that we can trust and rely on God, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith hopes. Hope and faith and trust, they all go hand in hand, my brother and sister. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things we haven't seen, but I believe if we trust and we rely on God in this church, we're going to see Him. Glory be to God. If we just keep trusting in Jesus, we're going to see Him. If you just keep trusting, you're going to see your lost loved ones saved. If you just keep relying on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to see them saved. And instantly he received his sight and began to follow Jesus, recognizing, praising, and honoring God. And all the people, when they saw it, praised God. Notice they didn't praise a man. They didn't praise a cathedral. They didn't praise a sanctuary. They praised God. And as we praise God and we worship God, we're going to see mighty manifestations of the Spirit of God. It's not praising a person. It's praising the man, Christ Jesus. It's praising the one true God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There are things that we need to, our trust needs to be placed in God. God's name, Psalms 33:21. God's word, Psalms 119:42. In Christ, Matthew 12:17-21. We must trust God. We must trust in Him like we've never trusted in Him in these last days, my brother and sister. We must know that we know that we know that we know that we know that God is for us. We need to know that God is for us. And if God before us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You might feel like a jerk through a knothole backwards, but God is going to bring you through the valley. God is going to bring you through the flood, and God is going to bring you through the fire. You notice in the Old Testament, it didn't say that you wouldn't have fire. It said that the fire wouldn't kindle upon you. It said that the floods wouldn't overtake you. We're going to see some troubled times, my brother and sister, but God is faithful. God is faithful. He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and will He not bring those things to pass that He's promised you? Just as He promised Abraham of old, in the old covenant, He promised Abraham. He promised Abraham, and Abraham didn't worry. Abraham didn't fret, didn't worry about his old body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he relied and he trusted in God, that God promised God was going to bring it to pass. And there are some things that God has promised you, and there are some things that God has promised me, and God is going to bring them to pass. It is not you that has to bring them to pass. All you need to do is get your trust, your confidence, and your ultimate relying on Jesus. Not relying on your wife, not relying on your husband, but relying on your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. And without Him, I'm a dead man. Without Him, I don't want to live. Without Him, I don't have any peace, because it's in Him we live and move and have our being.
Hallelujah.
These times are getting darker, but Christ's return is the much nearer. Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. We need to be hearing Maranatha coming from the church house and the home house. Glory be to God, because Jesus is coming. I know it's getting dark. He that shall come will come. And He's not going to linger in heaven. He's going to come out of heaven with a shout of the archangel of the trumpet. And we which are alive are going to be caught up in the air. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, my brother and sister. I've got good news. I've got bad news and good news. It's going to get darker. But the darker it gets, the greater His grace is. His grace is sufficient. The greater His mercy is. The greater His supernatural manifestation. If He did it for the children of old in the old covenant, He's going to do it for us blood-bought saints in the new covenant. We've got a sure and better lasting covenant established on better principles, established on better promises, established on better covenants. If He sent water out of the rock, glory be to God, He'll do whatever He's got to do to provide for me and you, because He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what we're going through. God is in control of this universe. God is in control of your life. God is in control of my life. God is in control, glory be to God. He's triumphant. He's victorious. And because He's victorious, we're victorious. It doesn't matter what we've gone through, because we're victorious, because He is. He triumphed over death. He triumphed over the great. He led captivity captive, glory be to God. And we can have assurance and we can have faith that God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do in His Word. The eyes of the blind, they're going to open. The eyes of the deaf, they're going to hear. The eyes of the blind will see. And we are going to see a mighty manifestation of God's Spirit. We are going to see a manifestation of God's glory. Because we believe. We believe that God said He's going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Brother Venable might be 70 years old, but he's going to see it. Abraham was 90. God's no respecter of persons. He might be 70, but we're going to see it. He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry, my brother and sister. God is going to do it. God is going to move. I want you to know there's benefits of trusting in this great God. How great is our God? We sing the song. We sang it this morning. How great is our God? He's a great God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. We used to sing in the old. There's benefits to trusting in God. These benefits are joy. Psalms 5:11. Deliverance. Hallelujah. Psalms 22:4 and 5. Triumph. Psalms 25:2 and 3. Here's one I like. God's goodness. Psalms 31:19. God's mercy, Psalms 32:10. God's provision in these dark times, Psalms 37:35. Dinner, that's exactly why you can live off whatever the amount of money you live off of, is because of the provision and blessing of God. Psalms 37:35. Blessedness, Psalms 44. Safety, Psalms 56:4 and 11. See, it doesn't matter if we go to orange again because of terrorism, because God is going to protect His people. God's going to protect His kids. Well, Brother Sean, there were probably Christians that died in the Twin Towers. You know what? You're probably right. There probably were Christians that died. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you know what? I can rest you assured, if they were real blood-bought, born-again Christians, that when on their way down, when the towers were trembling, I can assure you they were trying to take people with them to heaven. Oh, stand rest assured that if they said the sinner's prayer, those people that died with them went to heaven. Yes. That just because we're a Christian doesn't mean it's all going to be in a cloud. We're all going to walk on a cloud. We're never going to have trouble. We're never going to have situations that where God can't manifest Himself to show up strong. God shows up best in adversity. God shows up best in problem situations. God shows up best when the children of Israel were in trouble. He parts the Red Sea. So if you want a trouble-free life, then maybe you don't want to be a Christian. Because, see, the Bible does say after we're illuminated, we endure a great fight of affliction. And how great the fight, but the battle's already been won. Safety, Psalms 56, 4 and 11. Usefulness, Psalms 73, 28. Guidance, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Inheritance. We got an inheritance with the saints, my brother and sister. Isaiah 57, 13. We got an inheritance. Your mother and your daddy may not have left you quite a bit of inheritance, but you got a Father God that's got an inheritance waiting for you, and it's waiting for you in glory. And that inheritance that's waiting in glory is going to come down on this earth in the New Jerusalem, and we're going to have that inheritance here on this earth. Glory be to God. The mosquitoes that we now deal with, when we come back to reign with Jesus, we're not going to have to deal with them. Glory be to God. They're going to be gone because everything's going to be as it should have been. Perfect. God is in control. He's in control of you, and He's in control of me. Doesn't mean we don't have situations, circumstances. But that's where trust and faith come in. Amen. See, when we have a headache, I mean, it's a small thing. It's just a headache. And I'm guilty. We should have enough trust in God to know that His Word says we're the healed of the Lord's. We should have enough determination and enough boldness to believe God and take Him in His Word and say, you know what, Father, it might hurt me for the rest of the evening, but I'm not taking this aspirin because I believe You're a man of Your Word. And I'm going to tell you something. I know we get headaches and I know we have pressure, but we got to trust our Master. We got to trust Him that He's going to do everything that He said He's going to do. I'm telling you right now, there is a spirit in these last days. And if you look it up in the Greek, it's the spirit of pharmakia. If you look it up, pharmaceutical companies are making billions and billions and billions of dollars off of the American people because they give them a drug for everything. But it cures a symptom. It doesn't cure the solution. It treats a symptom. It doesn't cure it. If you look at some of the side effects from taking some of these drugs, you might wonder, my God, why would I take them in the first place? I've got nosebleeds. I might have diarrhea. I might have... Well, I don't want to say that in church. But it's true. I mean, there's certain things, certain side effects you have from taking some of these drugs. That's why we need to walk in the covenant. We need to walk in the covenant that God gave us. We need to walk and we need to trust that God is a man of His Word. And we don't need to put up with arthritis. We don't need to put up with headaches. We don't need to put up with anything because we are children of the Most High God. Sister Ruth, I'm praying for you before we leave tonight about that arthritis. I don't think I just said that by happenstance. I believe God wants something dealt with tonight because He is a faithful God. He's a faithful King of Kings and He's a faithful Lord of Lords. And you're His child and you're His daughter. Not this daughter. Be healed of this plague in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because You are faithful, Father. You are faithful. It is time that we get bold. And it's time that sometimes we just take the battle to the gate because we know that God's got our back. We ain't worried about who else has our back. We know that God has our back. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Maybe we need to get like Miriam and grab the tambourine and begin to sing the songs of Zion and the songs of triumph and the songs of Moses, because God is in control. There is no weapon. There is no temptation that is taking you that is such as common to man. You have not strived against sin, my brother and sister. There are certain things we just need to resist. We need to resist the temptations of just giving in and letting in and taking certain medications. And just believe God. There's nothing wrong with believing God. You know, for years, I've kind of been plagued in this church because I believe God. And you know what? I take it as an honor badge now. Because I'm going to believe God for Him to do the miraculous. I'm going to believe God for Him to do the impossible. I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's just Brother Sean. You know what? That might be so, but I'm going to tell you something. When I get healed and I walk in here healed of a headache, and you ask me, how did you do it, Brother Sean? I'm going to tell you, I trusted in the Master. I trusted in the King of Kings. And that's all that matters to me, is I want to see some evidence of what the Word of God says. There are people in this congregation that want to see the evidence as well. They want to see the healings. They want to see the deliverances. And I'm telling them that God is able and willing to do them if we will just trust and rely on Him. We're not trusting Him when we come down for prayer and go right back to the doctor Monday morning. Kind of like the illustration Brother Venable gave us this morning about the waddling ducks. No difference. We come down for prayer and then we go back to the doctor. Why? Because we want the doctor to tell us there's no change. When we should be not going to the doctor. If we do go to the doctor, we should have an expectant spirit that whatever was there is gone because we prayed and we believe and we're a covenant child of the Most High God. And even if it's there, we laugh at the enemy's face and say, my God is going to deliver me. Though the mountains be removed, my God is going to deliver me. It doesn't matter. God is faithful. God is a delivering God. You might go all the way to the operating table and then not find it. Let's take one last x-ray. Let them take it, glory be to God. When it's not there, they won't operate and God will get the glory. I'm passionate about healing because I believe we're defrauded so many times from our healings. I believe it's a benefit of the covenant of God that we've not yet tapped into or walked in, that we need to be walking in as children of the Most High God. It's not something that we have to fight for. It's something that's ours. Glory be to God. If I wrote you a check and I had $1 million and I wrote you a $500 check, you would go cash it. It is no different than us getting healed. God paid the payment. We just need to receive it. Glory be to God. He took those stripes, my brother and sister, that you and I might be healed. We need to trust God that those stripes meant something, that those stripes did something. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of His peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, we are healed. Not going to be healed, but we are healed. Glory be to God. I did not come tonight expecting the place to be full. I did not come tonight because I'm just filling in for the pastor. I came tonight because I believe this is the exact place God wanted me. And I believe that when I was just a little child, God put His hand on me for whatever reason. And I'm going to tell you something, my brother and sister. I'm going to believe God for the miraculous, for the impossible. It doesn't matter to me. It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. I have seen devils come out. I have seen shoulders pop back into place in my mom's house when I prayed for people. Are you bragging, brother? Brother Sean, no, I'm not. I'm just telling you that I've seen mighty manifestations of the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. And God wants to move by His sovereign Spirit. God wants to move in these last days. God wants to move by His sovereign Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of the sovereign God. God wants to take His vengeance. God wants to shine in these last days. Let the trials come. Let God shine. Glory be to God. You know what? Every time I go to minister, all hell breaks loose. But you know what? I'm kind of getting accustomed to it. I want the enemy to know that I came tonight full of faith. I came tonight full of God's Spirit. I came ready to fight. I come ready to do battle because I serve a God that bled and died for me. And I've got brothers and sisters here that I'm willing to die for and fight for. And as it says in the Old Testament, there's a time that we need to fight for our sons and daughters. We need to fight for our houses and lands. And we need to fight for our covenant. Glory be to God. We've got a covenant that reaches to 1,000 generations. God does not change. People have changed. The times have changed. But His Word has not changed. We should have an overwhelming sense of trust in our God. But too many times we lean to this thing instead of doing exactly what the Word says and trusting in the Lord. We lean to our own understanding. That's when we get in trouble. We don't trust in God like we should. We begin to try to reason. The Bible talks about reason. It says, let us come reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. in the multitude of counselors their safety. Don't go get your counsel from some ungodly person. Get it from somebody that's full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of God. Somebody that believes what the Word says. My wife, when we first got married, bless her heart, she had to put up with me. She said, I got this ailment that Sister so-and-so has and my aunt has and my mom has. And you know me. I said, you do, huh? That's good. You know, I said, we're going to pray. This night blindness thing that's followed your family is going to go. Because we have a covenant. We got a covenant. We got a covenant. And I would not let her bow to that thing. I would not let her. Sometimes men need to just get up and stand up in the right attitude. And don't do it in the wrong attitude, because you and your wife's spouse might begin to fight. Make sure you do it in the right attitude. Make sure you do it in the right attitude. And I listened to what she said. I waited until the next day. I had to go to work at 1 o'clock, so I got up, cleaned up the house, had my worship music going, I was praying and I was reading. So I waited until I come home that night and I said, I need to talk to you about something. And I talked to her about it and I said, look, I don't care what other people do. You're going to live with me. You're married to me. We're going to believe God. We're going to take Him at His word. And this was when, I don't know, we might have been 6 months, a year of marriage. I don't remember exactly where it was. It was Wednesday nights. She would go to church and my vision, I says, well, just believe God. God will heal you. And God will heal you. And God's healed her of some things. Glory be to God. Healed her of that. Healed her of some other things that she would kept dealing with. Glory, because God's a covenant-keeping God. And not only that is, we're going to stand up for what's right. We're going to stand up for His Word. And I believe we need to be the first partakers of the fruits. And I believe that's why so many times, honey, we've been attacked and we've been fought with our health and we've been fought in our body. Because I will not bow to sickness. I will not bow to disease, because Jesus defeated it at the cross. If He defeated death, He defeated everything else that has to deal with death. Everything else that has to deal with the curse was defeated when He rose from the dead. Man, that could be a resurrection sermon. Boy, look out. God is good. My brother and sister, He wants you to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. I was sitting getting ready, and to be honest with you, I left some of my notes at home, but that's okay, because I was going to talk about faith tonight. And I sat back in the chair at my desk, my new computer, listening to worship music, and the Lord spoke to me like I've never heard Him before. He just dropped it in my spirit. My people don't trust me. And because they don't trust me, they can't see my glory. They can't have their healings. Because they're not trusting in His Word. They're trusting in that doctor's report. They're trusting in what the newspaper says. They're trusting in what the news broadcaster says. But they're not trusting in His Word. They're not trusting in Him. It broke my heart. I had to repent for not trusting in Him. With my kids, my wife, family members. It's easy to do sometimes, my brother and sister. But God wants us to trust Him like we've never trusted Him before in our life. Our faith will not work unless we can completely trust and rely on Jesus. Our faith will not work. I know you don't hear this from other ministers, and I frankly don't care. I'm a man of truth. I believe in speaking the truth. I believe in living the truth. Jesus said, because of their faith in God, because they're trusting and relying in. I'll read it again. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith, your trust, and confidence that spring from your faith in God has healed you. See, Here's what happened in Jesus' day. He began to do miracles started with the water turning to wine. He goes out and he heals a young girl, raises her from the dead. He goes out and heals a blind-eyed person. And all of a sudden, the news begins to go throughout the country. And these people begin to hear that this man Jesus is healing people. They don't know how, they don't know, but they hear that he's healing people. So people begin to believe that they can be healed. Just as he healed that other person, they themselves can be healed. So they begin to look to God through Jesus, and they begin to get their healing. And that is why they got their healing, because of their faith in God. It wasn't their faith in a person. It wasn't their faith in, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It wasn't their faith in Benny Hinn. It wasn't their faith in Joyce Meyer. It wasn't their faith in Rod Parsley. And all of these people have their place. But it was their faith in God, my brother and sister. See, too many times we look at the celebrity. The celebrity is not going to heal you, and he's not going to heal me. It is God that does the healing. It is God that does the healing. The Bible says if there be any sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let him pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Doesn't say the prayer of that person. See, the elders praying together in one mind and one accord, praying to God. The prayer of faith, praying to God, that we're trusting in God, that God's going to heal this person, has nothing to do with the personality or the celebrityness of that person. See, we need to get away from that. We need to get away from that and get back to our faith in God and God alone. There are no spiritual superstars. And I know that in the church world today, that's what people portray them as, is spiritual superstar robots. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wasn't a superstar. He was God in the flesh. And He's the one we need to imitate. He's the one we need to walk like. He's the one we need to talk like. He's the one that we need to follow. And if He would wash the feet of the disciples, then we ought to wash one another's feet if the Spirit of God prompts us. God tells you to pray for somebody, don't be afraid. Have enough trust in God that God told you that. That God's going to answer your prayer because He told you to do it. It's not enough to follow celebrities. I know of people that followed celebrities. I know of people that followed Rodney Howard Brown everywhere he went. And they're just as miserable today as they were then. Because they were looking to a celebrity instead of looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm a Jesus man. I'm sitting in this room with Jesus people. And it's Jesus that I'm going to defend in His Word, in His Gospel, in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And we take this faith and we portray it around. And you know, TBN's got their telethon going on right now, and they've got all kinds of people on there. All kinds of people. And you know, I'm tired of hearing that God wants to make us rich. God doesn't want to make us rich in money. I wish you'd go back and read their Bible. He wants to make us rich in Him. He wants to make us rich in faith. He wants to make us rich in peace. He wants to make us rich in healing. That's the true riches of the gospel. And how dare us pervert it? I'm so glad. Lord, help me to stay true. Help me to stay pure. I'd rather stay small and never get in the limelight, because I don't want to ever, ever pervert the gospel, pervert the word, and have to stand before God Almighty for the perversion that's out there today. Because that's exactly what it is perversion. We need to trust that God is going to take care of those men and women. They're set for a reason. They're set for a purpose. See, God knows. His sheep know His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Even if that stranger's in a nice dress, even if that stranger's in a nice suit, they know the difference between God's voice and the wolf's voice with a muzzle on it. With a wolf's voice with a microphone. See, we're living in a day where celebrityism needs to fall and Christism needs to rise. We're living in a day where the celebrities need to bow again to Jesus. Living in a day where they need to trust in this man called Jesus. Hallelujah. We're living in a day where we account faith as some super force. That we're living in a day where people think that their words have creative power ability. The only thing our words have power of is life and death in the tongue. They take that scripture and they pervert it. Because they want to be God. They want to be in control. They are not in control. It may appear that they are in control. There's only one that's in control. And that is Jehovah Jireh. That is God the Father. That is God the Son. That is God the Holy Spirit. Turn with me please to the book of Hebrews. I didn't know whether to do Hebrews first or do Hebrews last, but I chose to do it last. And I'm going to do it out of the Amplified, so if you get lost, it'll be okay. I normally do it out of the KJV, but hallelujah. Hebrews 6:12. Yes, that's it. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, listen, by their leaning of the entire personality on God, their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. See, we need to put our trust. We need to take our whole person and we need to just lay it on Jesus. We need to just lay it on Him. Because if not, we'll have breakdowns upon breakdowns upon breakdowns because we're not leaning, relying, and trusting in our God. And we need to trust this great God. Yes. Flip over to chapter 10, verse 22. Hallelujah. Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts, in unqualified assurance, in absolute conviction, engineered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. Let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For He who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to His word. See, he's sure, He's reliable. There's one thing, there is somebody you can count on, and that's Jesus. You may not be able to count on your brother next door or that relative that always lets you down, but you can count on Jesus. You can count on Him to be there. You can count on Him to do exactly what He said. He may not do it in the time that you want Him to, but He's a man of His word. And His delay is not His denial. Sometimes things are opposed in the heavenlies, like when Daniel was fasting and praying, and the angel had the answer, but he was buffeted. He was held up in the heavens because of principalities and powers. See, we're seated far above all of that, my brother and sister in Christ. But we have an enemy, and we live in an earth realm body, and he does everything he can to wreak havoc on us in this earth world, because he knows that we're seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're seated in Christ far above those, but we live in an earthen vessel. We live in a body that he knows that we have frailties, we have weaknesses, and God knows that as well. That's why he tells us to trust in him. That's why he tells us to rely on him. Because we have frailties and we have weaknesses that only God can help us with.
Yes.
Your husband can't fix you, and neither can your wife.
No.
Only God can.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go to Hebrews 11:1, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Hallelujah. I want you to get your faith built up, because God is awesome. God wants you to trust, and me to trust in him. Because the days are getting darker. Gas prices ain't getting no cheaper. But we have a God that will provide. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that we see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet through the incident he is still speaking. Because of faith, Enoch was called up and transferred to heaven, so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony still on record that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. Oh, what a testimony, my brother and sister, that we could please God and be satisfied to God. Know that we can please him when we accept the blood and apply it to our life and ask for forgiveness. Every time we do it and ask for forgiveness, we please and satisfy God the Father. Thank you for the amen. I mean, I know some of y'all out there, y'all perfect, y'all don't need that blood, y'all don't need his forgiveness. But I need it every day. Every day, every day, every day. But without faith, listen, without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentenced on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness, that the relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. I'm telling you something, my brother and sister. We need to rely on God. We need to rely that God is faithful. God is a man of his word. God is a man of his word. God is a man of his word. We can know that faith is because God is. We can know that faith is because trust is. We can know that faith is because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and will he not bring it to pass? I know we haven't seen some things, but we're getting ready to see some things, my brother and sister. We're getting ready to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in this place like never before. We've seen the tricklings. We've seen the little rain showers. But we're getting ready to see flood tides of God's anointing, flood tides of God's glory. We're getting ready to see them. If we just keep trusting and relying on God, we're going to be leading these people in worship up here. And people are going to begin to just fall under the power of Almighty God. People are going to run to the altars because of the Spirit of God that is in this place. There is an electrifying Holy Ghost anointing in this place. God chose this place. God chose this people for such a time as this. God has chosen you, my brother and sister, to move upon you in these last days, to move upon you, to move through you to a lost, damned, and dying world. And He wants to use you to touch your loved one. He wants to use you to touch your co-workers. He wants to use you to touch the person that's down the street when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the convenience store. God wants to use you to touch them. God may even want you to use you to touch your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. God wants to use you. We're in this together. We're in this fight together. I've preached myself hoarse. I don't think I've done that since I've been doing this. God is the founder and maker of this ministry. I can say that knowing that I know that I know my pastor's heart. God is the founder. You know why? Because if He's the wolf, He'd have quit a long time ago. If He wasn't real, He wouldn't just come for five or six people. If He wasn't real, He's trusting and He's relying on God that God is going to move and souls are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And it's not going to be my might. It's not going to be my ingenuity. It's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. That doesn't mean we don't go out and evangelize. We got our jobs to do. I didn't hear no amens on that one. Heard amens all night long except for that one, Brother Doug. Because evangelism, revivals work. How many want revival? Revivals work. You better get ready to pray. You better get ready to come down here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You better get ready to live down here. Revival, I'm telling you, revivals work. Revivals work. Revivals work. If we want it, we'll work for it. I mean, we work for our houses. Worked for my motorcycle. I'll slam myself before I slam y'all. Work for our houses, our cars. We need to work for revival. Worked for our fences. We work for a lot of things. We need to work for revival. We need to work for God's glory. And the way we work for that is just consecrate ourselves anew and afresh to Him. Consecrate ourselves as of one body, serving one God, serving one faith and one baptism. I don't believe, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't believe we're going to see what we want to see until we can all speak the same thing and have the same mind. Majority of us do. But when it comes to healing, we're all going to need to speak the same thing. When it comes to salvation, we're all going to need to speak the same thing. When it comes to deliverances, we're all going to need to speak the same thing. I can't talk about healing and have Brother Mike talk about, well, you know, if God wants to, He will. Guess what? You just crimped the hose. Just crimp the hose. In the time we talk about God moving, you talk about healing, you talk about God manifesting His Spirit. Somebody comes in here negative, you crimp up the hose of the Spirit of God. God don't never crimp it, we crimp it. With our attitudes, us not forgiving one another, us not loving one another, we crimp it. Us not being quick to forgive. Well, I'll wait till, you know, just before the sun goes down. 10th hour, I'll call in 11 hours and 55 minutes, I'll call and apologize and repent. Can't be, my brother and sister. We got to do what the Word says. James says, be not hearers only, but doers of the Word. Be quick to repent. And we got to do it. We can't just talk about it. Can't just talk about revival and want it and not do some things. When we get those bad attitudes, hey, I'm going to let love cover a multitude of sins. But I'm also going to tell you, hey, let's pray. Let's pray about this situation right now. And hey, I know there's times I don't want to pray when I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and things just haven't gone the way I would like them to go for the day, and it's just been one of those days. But guess what? That's the most important time to pray. Because you get a sense of peace. God just comes and floods your soul. And you give it an overwhelming supernatural peace that the world knows nothing about. That only us Christians know about. You know, I'm so glad that God is merciful. I'm so glad He doesn't expect us to be perfect without sin. Because if He did, none of us could walk through those front doors. That doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to not sin. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have faults, but shouldn't make excuses. We should just say, you know what, I blew it. I was wrong. Repent, go on. That's a Christian. No different than a boxer who's got the heavyweight belt. He loses it because he lost his hunger. But he begins to get his hunger back. He wants that title back. Because with that title comes notoriety. With that title comes fame. With that title comes, I'm the best in the world. Can't nobody beat me. So he begins to get hungry. He begins to train. He begins to train. He begins to diet. He begins to train some more. Instead of running 5 miles like he used to, now he's running 20 miles because he's hungry. He wants that belt back. So the new champion gets complacent, gets comfortable. Kind of like us Christians sometimes. We do good when we're winning victories. We're reading that Bible and all of a sudden, oh, I'm doing kind of good. I can put that Bible down and not read it as much now because I've got a few victories under my belt. I can just not read the Word now. And he begins to not jog as much. He begins to not train as much. And they have a rematch and the champion before wins the bout because he got his hunger back. And if we get our hunger back, myself included, I believe we'll see the glory of God. When we were hungry, it didn't bother us to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. When we were hungry. When we were hungry, it didn't bother us to pray till 2 in the morning and get up and go to work. When we were hungry. When we were trusting in God, it didn't bother us to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have Bible studies at my mom's house. Didn't bother us. Didn't bother us. Didn't even blink an eye at it. We just did it. We just did it. And Doug got saved. Let's have Bible study. Let's pray. Come on. Let's go, guys. Let's pray. Come on, Mom. Get in here. We're going to pray. Let's go. We had enthusiasm. We had life. I'm not saying this to get this a downer. I just want you to think back to how easy it was for us to pray. How easy it was for us not to blink an eye at it. How easy it was to stay up till 1, 2 in the morning and wake up refreshed in the presence of God because we were with the Master. We were with the Father. We were in the presence of the King. And we didn't even think about it. We just did it. Didn't know much about the Word, but God showed up. Didn't know much about healing, but He healed. Didn't know much about a whole lot of things. But we just spent time with the Master. Spent time with the Master. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, if we can get the hunger back and we can all of us discipline ourselves to come together and pray, I'm telling you, it'll change us. It'll change this congregation. It'll change Sunday morning, Sunday night. It'll change worship. But we have to get disciplined. We together as a body and individually have to get disciplined. It means put aside everything and come together and pray. Put aside our differences. What you think's right, what I think's right, it doesn't matter. We're coming to pray. We're coming to believe God for souls. We're coming to believe God for the lost. Put all your isms, schisms aside. Let's go and let God take care of all that. If I'm wrong, God will show me I'm wrong. He'll show me in His Word, you're wrong about that, son. If you really got a heart for truth, God will show you when you're wrong. Would you please stand? Living in a day where God wants to do the miraculous. We're living in a day where if we can do what Paul said, buffet our body, bring it into subjection and come together and pray. Because it's been a real fight for us, my brother and sister. It's been a real struggle. But I'm telling you, it's needful for us to come together like it's never been before. It's needful. And I'm not saying we need to come down here. Whatever. Somebody open their house, whatever. We just need to come together. And those of us that have families, if we can't both go, one of us can go and represent that family. I can let Heather go and I can stay back with the kids. And then the next time I can go and she can stay back with the kids. See, when David went to Ziklag, when he lost everything, and he said, bring me hither the ephod. It was a type of repentance. It was a type of prayer. Some people stayed back with the stuff. When they recovered it all, some people stayed back with the stuff and others went out to the battlefield. There are going to be times when I'm going to have to stay with the kids and Heather's going to have to go. And there's going to be times she's going to have to stay with the kids and I'm going to have to go. But we must come together. Too many times the Spirit of God has called us to prayer and we haven't done it. Thank God He's long-suffering. Thank God He's merciful. But my brother and sister, I don't know how long we can expect God to move and not come together. I'm a man of truth. In any revival, prayer has always been the caboose of revival. Our caboose isn't humming in this church. And yet God is still merciful to us. Still speaks to us through the gifts of the Spirit. Because that's His love and that's His long-suffering and His mercy. God is drawing near to us so we can reciprocate that and we can draw near to Him. He leaves the 99 and goes after the backslider, the one that's lost, because He's a loving God. And He loves you and He loves me. And He wants us to trust Him like we've never trusted Him before. Pay your tithes. God is faithful. Pay your tithes. It don't matter if you can only put $10 in your gas tank. Pay your tithes. And God will supernaturally sustain your gas tank. I've seen Him sustain Ditter's gas tank. We went all the way to Claremont on an eighth of a tank of gas. And all the way home when we went to pick up Philip on an eighth of a tank from Land O'Lakes to Claremont back on 1/8 of a tank of gas because God supernaturally sustained the gas tank. Why? Because we were about His business. He left the 99 and went after the one lost sheep. So He supernaturally sustained the gas tank. I'm telling you, I've seen Him do some amazing, outstanding things. And God wants to continue to do those. Hallelujah. Brother, you can get ready to give us some worship. Sister Ruth, would you please come here? Hallelujah. There is a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue, every disease, every sickness has to bow. And arthritis has to bow. Arthritis has to go. Hallelujah. Father, I anoint my sister in the name of Jesus. According to Your word, Father God, I anoint my sister and I curse this arthritis in the name of Jesus. And I command it to leave her body in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave her body in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you that this is a blood-bought child of the living God, Father. And ought not this daughter be healed this very night, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you for delivering her from arthritis, Father, in the name of Jesus. She will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you are God. You are God. You are God. There is none like you, Father. Thank you for boldness. We can have boldness to go behind the veil, my brother and sister, because of the blood of Jesus. We can have boldness because we have access because of the blood of Jesus. We can just get bold and downright, if we need to, nasty when it comes to disease and sickness. We can tell that they can go back to the pit of hell where it came from, my brother and sister. I am looking at blood-bought men and women of the Most High God. And there are things that are in your body that maybe shouldn't be there. And if they're there, they can go tonight in the name of Jesus, because we are blood-bought sons of the living God. Thank you, Father.